Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Peaceful Planet. You were listening to the song titled Peaceful Planet. The music was written by Bob Murray, who's going to be our featured guest today. He's writing all the music for the Peaceful Planet show. We're just delighted to have Bob with us. And then I wanted to mention, too, that the person that performed this was former show host Chris Moores, and he did a wonderful rendition, and I'm writing the lyrics. So Bob and I have been on a collaborative project with Spirit, working on music from the other side, and he does all the music for our show, and it's just phenomenal. And I would like to encourage you to visit his site right now, since you're tuned in, at www.thestarsstillshine.com, and that's two S's in the website title there. And I'm so excited to have Bob back on the show. Our topic for today is going to be a lot of Bob's projects, and I'd like to read you his bio before we launch into the interview. And I also want to mention to you, too, that you can go right to the site right now and listen to songs. They're piped in to his website, and they're just really awesome. He works with many of the great musical legends of all time, and Michael, his deceased son-in-law, and he receives these inspirational tunes and then somehow translates them through the use of a computer. And so he works with John Lennon, as I do, and George Harrison, and Michael in the band, and then The Dead on the Ed Sullivan Show is the new CD. So we want you to go to the site and hear the tunes throughout the show if you would like to. You can also call in for a musical song request. If we have it in our archives here at BBS, we'll be glad to play the song for you. And I want to give you, before I read Bob's bio, our call-in toll-free numbers. If you would like to call in for a reading with myself or possibly even with Robert Murray. And we're going to be focused on the importance of past life and what that means right now and why you need to think about that. And if you have questions, again, you know, for Bob about that, you can call 877-876-5227 in the USA, and that's toll-free. And then you can call 888-810-8322 in Canada. So, again, I want to read Bob's brief, abbreviated bio, but he has an outstanding bio. Robert Murray, a.k.a. Bob or Father Murray, channels or receives messages and stories from the other side. For more than 30 years, Bob has been communicating with people who have crossed over. Before he channels, he mentally sets up psychic protection for himself. Then he sits down at his computer in his home where he receives the messages. When he receives messages, he tunes in and types their messages on the computer. He could be called a receiver. He has to find the correct station, and there has to be some fine-tuning. He hears voices and sees pictures. An interaction takes place. He is conscious and quite aware of his surroundings while he writes. During his conversations with the people, he sees them in their surrounding and senses their feelings and emotions while they speak. All this comes through him and is recorded by him. He has developed the ability to slow down the messages and write them accurately. This is not automatic writing, but rather transcribing what he actually hears. He has written a book containing a diary of messages from his deceased son-in-law, Michael. And he has some new e-books, an e-magazine, messages, and music from the other side. So I want to read to you a little bit more about his music, too. Robert has been channeling new country, pop, samba, jazz, and swing music, and much more from the other side. Music has been added to this website for your listening pleasure. Michael and the band and many other musicians have arranged for the transfer of their music through Robert into his computer, which records the music. The music on this website is by Robert and is inspired by Michael and the band and many other artists. So again, you can find that music part of Bob's site right now if you want to surf a site. So anyway, it's a great pleasure to present to you, our listening audience, Robert Murray. Hi, Bob, and welcome to the show.
Boy, that's quite a build-up, even if I wrote it myself.
Well, yes, I know. It's great to have you on the show, and I hope I'm coming through loud and clear for you today.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful. So anyway, tell us about some of the recent projects you've been on, and then we'll kind of work into our discussion as well about past lives. And you were just so keen to pick up on mine. I was just so thoroughly impressed, and it is a fascinating topic. But before we get to that, I thought you might want to mention some of the recent things you've been doing, because I know you're multi-talented and you are involved in quite a few projects.
Well, let's see. The latest project is working on a new script for a screenplay, a movie, and it has the topic of that particular screenplay is a young lady who happens to get lessons in how to be a psychic, and all the problems that come forward. She's visited by a not the usual angel, but a messenger angel who happened to be homeless. And anyway, it's a comedy, romantic comedy, and with hopefully some information about being psychic and all the problems that it entails.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can really speak volumes about that, couldn't we? We could do it all.
Well, this is why they told me to write what I know about, so I don't know
that
about being a woman, but I do know about being a psychic, so...
Well, you certainly do, and so do I, and all the roadblocks that we seem to meet up with it, but yet your psychic abilities are quite unlike anyone else's, and, you know, you're number one there on mentorship for me and people that I respect and admire as far as your abilities. You're just really able to somehow tune in to anything, whether it's... for instance, my past lives, or Princess Diana coming through with a message for me when I was a little distracted one time. And, you know, I mean, you know, those of you that are just tuning into this, you know, you may be wondering what I'm referring to, but in my book there was there were a couple messages in with love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, where Robert Murray had sent me some material through email. And one time, I usually do a channeled messages with Princess Diana weekly on world peace of some sort. And one week, I wasn't up to snuff, and she gave him the nudge from the other side and came through and gave the message instead through Bob. So, you know, he's amazing, and he really has this unbelievable ability. I mean, she described all of my surroundings that day, and there's just no way that Bob could have been making any of this up. I mean, it was just so incredibly accurate. And then more recently, we started talking about past lives, which is going to be our theme for the day. But anyway, tell me some more about other projects that you're on and anything else that may have been added to the website that our listeners might be curious to know about.
Well, we've been doing a lot on the e-magazine. Now, the e-magazine, what we do there is I communicate with people on the other side, and it's an outlet for authors and writers and former TV personalities or radio personalities who want to get their messages through. And they're not always necessarily deep messages, but some of them wanted to have a continuation of their literature. And so that is what we've been concentrating, or I have been concentrating on.
Absolutely.
About once a month, my son James asked me, well, have you got any messages for the next e-magazine? I said, well, no, I guess I better sit down and do it. So he keeps after me till I get all the messages through. So we managed to get an e-magazine out every month.
Yes, and I really enjoyed the last e-magazine, and I think a lot of the characters that, I call them characters, but they're actual personalities that have crossed over, and your connection seems to be TV and the media completely. I mean, it's just, you have that really refined connection with Hollywood of the other side. But the last one, you did a really good interview. Actually, I think it was Butch that did the interview with Merv Griffin, which was really enjoyable, and he has just recently passed on in the last month or so. And, you know, he was just totally true to form, wasn't he?
Well, yes. I was very surprised that he came through so quickly. But
Yeah, what a great entertainer he was. You know, whether you were fond of him or not matters not. I mean, these people still want to contribute something in the way of entertainment to this world, and certainly the people that you work with are top names, you know, for the most part. Butch is Ed Bradley, and everybody remembers him from 60 Minutes, and he does a lot of these interviews. And then for a while back, it was John F. Kennedy Jr. who was writing all the interviews. I noticed he doesn't seem to be writing as many interviews. Did he kind of get replaced by Ed Bradley? Or
No, they don't replace one another. What they do, they're very careful about not walking on somebody else's toes. It's just a matter of who's got something available at that particular time, and this Ed had some more available and was a bit more proactive, let's say.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I really enjoyed you know, John F. Kennedy's interviews with all the very interesting people and their comments on life and politics and everything. And then speaking of politics, of course, you're writing a lot with Mark Twain, and he wrote, in the last evening, he was writing about politicians in general and how they shouldn't be welcomed into heaven or share the space. I thought that was, it was incredibly in his style of writing, you know, which was always humor. He always wrote very good humor. And then he did like to lampoon politicians in his lifetime, as I recall. So, you know, everything you write is really in character, has all the sarcasm and the wit, you know, that goes along with the person as we know them. So it's pretty incredible what you've been writing just with that easing. So I like that. I thought it was very funny. You know, he always has me in tremendous laughter. So I really recommend the easing to our listening audience. And how could our audience members pick up on the easing? Where do they order it?
Well, they can go to our website, thestarstillshine.com, and all the information is there of how to order. It is, unfortunately, for a lot of people, it's not, the e-magazine is not free, but it's something like $15 for 6 months. And you get a monthly issue, about 20, 25, 30 pages sometimes.
I highly recommend it. I think it's worth the price, and I think, you know, there's some samples on your website so they can see how fantastic it really is.
Yes, there are.
Doesn't Irma Bombeck write a regular column, too? If you're a fan of Irma, she's writing again, you know.
Yes, she had the latest issue, I think it was The Ladies of the Rectangular Table, sort of a takeoff on The View.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so. And you had Katherine Hepburn, and who else was part of that? I remember the quite Lucille Ball.
Ella Fitzgerald and Joan Crawford, Lucille Ball, Irma. I think that was, forgive me, ladies, if I forgot somebody, but.
Grace Kelly, humorous.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Grace Kelly. And I think Grace Kelly mentioned Princess Diana, that she works with Princess Diana in some capacity now.
That's right, so. Yes, she does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is it that she's doing with Princess Di? Refresh my memory.
I think she's working with young girls.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I know that Princess Di, you know, I primarily channel Princess Di, and for those of you that don't know my work, you can find my work at DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com. Bob also channels Princess Di, and we know from our mutual work together, or Bob's work, that Diana is in charge of an orphanage on the other side, along with Mother Teresa, and continues her charity work for the children of the world, and that's one reason why she's doing these messages through me on world peace. But with Bob's work, she reveals a lot about, you know, her daily activities and a lot of the things, and she recruits a lot of people on that side into working for the orphanage, which they call Diaper Ranch, and it's for very young children who have crossed over, usually tragically, through wars and other massive tragedies. And Diana is there as an ascended master, as is Mother Teresa. And they're kind of the organizers of all this, and they recruit anyone who's willing to volunteer. Because once you cross over, you don't just sit there and twiddle your thumbs and listen to the angels strum hearts. You become active in various things, and there's a lot of people on the other side that need help, because not everyone arrives in perfect condition on the other side. A lot of these children are very wounded and such, so they need a lot of love and care, and Diana stands up for them. So that's what I know about it, but you go into quite a bit of that. Now, I understand, Bob, that you're going to be doing another book, another adventure on the other side. I wonder if you... you're going to call it The Star Still Shine again?
The Star Still Shine, The Journey Continues, Book 2.
Oh, Journey Continues.
Or something like that, I guess. Close enough. And that is in the final edit position, should be available. What we're going to do is we're going to have it on the Internet as an e-book first, and mm-hmm. then it'll be come out in printed form right after.
Oh, wonderful.
Right,
I can't
after that. So,
wait to see it in
so
the printed form.
Any day now, we'll be getting that out.
I know.
Which we've been
you've been
for a while,
on this for some time. I know how long it takes to edit books. I've got my book with John, John Lennon, that is, and to be called Notes from John, which will include some of the channeled musical lyrics that I've been writing to Bob's songs as a collaborative effort between the two of us. But as well, I'm so busy teaching online at the university now that I just, the thought of doing anything more with the computer after I get done with a good day's work is very hard to do. But I do have all the material. It's just organizing it, you know, and editing it. That's a, it can be a year-long process.
Well, I know that John would say, get on with it, Marcia.
Oh, yes, he's always nudging me, however gently. And I have a couple of his messages that I'd like to read, but if you don't mind, I wanted to read this very brief message from the... We're thinking about the Myanmar protests that have been going on for peace and for democracy in that part of the world, and I received an extraordinary message from the Buddhist monks, and I usually feature one of my messages with the show, so I thought I would just read that. It's very brief, and the Buddhist monks, pardon me?
Say, please do.
Oh, thank you, Bob. And then we'll get into the past lives and what we need to learn about that and explore some of my past lives with Bob. And you know, we're going to invite our callers to call in and ask questions about this fascinating subject. So before we do, I'm going to read the Myanmar protests. The Buddhist monks give a message of freedom. So they kind of appeared to me in my mind's eye right after these demonstrations had happened. And we're talking about the ones that had crossed over, unfortunately. They were brutally gunned down by the very repressive government that's going on there. And they had something to say, so they came to me. The masters of Buddhist monks appear to me in red robes, bowing, and they say, Namaste. Lady Kuan Yin is standing with them in support. And I say that. I say Namaste. But it's you who have given life, your life, and sacrifice so that democracy may be in your country. Buddhist monks, we say Namaste to all, including our persecutors. For as the Buddha taught, they could only kill themselves. Can you kill freedom? Can you kill love? No, we cannot be killed, and we are grateful to be in Nirvana. It is a small reward for our service to mankind. We prepared for days by fasting in the monastery before we took to the streets to free our people. Our love is everywhere. When will the world insist that our country be free? We insist for our people's sake. Namaste. May God's peace be upon you, the Buddhist monks. So again, I thought that was a wonderful message from them. And they had passed the spirit very suddenly through these demonstrations, and apparently they had been preparing through fasting, knowing that they might have to give their lives. And there were massive numbers of Buddhist monks. And this is a wonderful, very loving message from the monks. And, you know, when people give their lives so nobly in pursuit of such a noble goal, they often transition easily to the other side, knowing in a conscious way that they were going to give their life for a very good cause. So we send them lots of love, and we send all the people in Myanmar who are protesting today and for the last 10 days lots of love and lots of light and lots of support for their cause. And I only wish that there was more that we could do, but here on the Peaceful Planet, we like to bring through messages from angels and from others, ascended masters such as these monks, who are doing things for world peace and standing up because we want to see our world transformed to a better world. So I thought that was a wonderful message, and I hope you enjoyed it. So now we're going to put out our numbers again. If you are wanting to call in for a brief reading from myself or Bob, or you would like to ask a question about past lives, this is going to be our topic for today. And the toll-free number is 877-876-5227 for the USA, and toll-free 888-810-8322 in Canada. So again, if you want to call, you can call and ask a question about how to access past lives or whatever, and we're just going to be conversing, and you can feel free to interrupt us, you know, as long as we're not in the middle of something. We'll probably complete our sentence or whatever, and then we'll take your call. So anyway, Bob, this is really interesting. Maybe we can kind of pick up where we left off last time with our fascinating discussion on past life regression. I want to give the audience a little bit of info about this. I was doing some past life regression with a man who is he's a PhD in psychology, and I wanted to learn more about past lives, and I had some thoughts that maybe, you know, I had been in these past lives, and I had called Carolyn Evershow one time, and she told me that I had shared a past life with Jesus. And I was stunned with that information. I really couldn't believe it. But I did, you know, some images came to me after that reading, and so I thought, well, I really must explore this. So I went to this guy, and he's fully credentialed, but he believes in past lives and he has commitment to helping as many people as possible retrieve their past life memory. So in this past life, it was absolutely extraordinary. As I was under regression, I remember seeing Jesus walking along, and it was just the most amazing thing. And during the past life regression, you go under hypnosis, and then you retrieve as much information from that lifetime as you can. And so I found out that I was there with him and got to witness some of his miracles. And I saw him placing his hands on young children who were being brought to him and restoring these children to health. And it was just amazing. And then I have to mention this to you, Bob, a while ago, and you brought through some other information about my past life. I'm not sure if you remember that now.
Yes. It's concerning the trip to England, or what was then the British Isles, or the that period of time.
You had mentioned the trip to England, and I didn't get to that part in my regression, but if you want to elaborate and you still have the information.
Well, it was through the auspices, shall we say, of Joseph of Arimathea, who was with Jesus at that time. And it was around, you went around with them, and it was around Glastonbury.
Wow.
And at that time, and there was some significance with the thorn tree that was there. It was made from, planted from a staff, a thorn staff, not a thorn, but thorn bush, a thorn tree staff, and
wow.
It grew into that.
So this was a relic? This was a visit to England regarding relics of the cross?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, there was another... there's more or less two parts to this story, and because you made two trips at that
wow.
particular time. And, you know, there's a lot of, let's say a lot of followers went to England with you and with Jesus, and there's another formation of a group there. Was very strong, very well. I guess they weren't Hebrews or Jewish, but they were beginning of the Christian faith at that time.
Wow! So, would you say then that this was a resurrected form of Jesus, or was this related to the other material that's been hidden for some time that you?
Well, this is.
The last time?
I know it sounds very mysterious, and a lot of people are very. Curious about the business of the whether Jesus was actually crucified at that particular time, and the story I have, not necessarily the story, but the information I have is that he was not killed on the cross, but did make an appearance and was taken out of the area. In the Middle East, and then went to different places. Still alive. So this was the live after the live trip after the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are those theories, and I know what an excellent channel you are. So I put faith in your work. Although it's not something that I necessarily saw in my past life, but I did see him on the cross in the past life. but I didn't actually see him die.
That was true. He was on the cross. He was severely wounded on the cross,
mm-hmm.
and he came down
yeah.
because this was an arrangement with Pontius Pilate.
Oh, really?
And he was actually on the cross, and he was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brought down later, and he was still alive.
Hmm. And so he was then allowed to... I wonder why they would allow him to be released. Joseph of Arimathea was the one that took him down supposedly off after
right.
after he died. I mean, but that's what the Christian religion teaches. But, you know, I've always felt very close to Jesus. This is amazing material that you have. But, you know, the standard story is so far removed from what we get as psychics on his life. And it's so amazing what you have. So I'd be curious, excuse me, I didn't mean to burp. Wrong time for that. Wondering if, what else you could fill me in on the details of anything that you were able to retrieve or access on the life of Jesus and how I ended up going to England with him and anything that
well,
you
Well, that's
have.
quite a long story.
Is this in your book, by the way, Bob?
Pardon me?
Did you say that part of this is in book two because Michael's been working with Joseph?
He's had trips. Yeah, some of the explanations. I don't know if it's in book two or book three. There is a third book and even a fourth book. But he was working with Joseph of Arimathea and taking lessons from Joseph.
That's
he explained a lot of the early trips that. Jesus took to the Far East, to India and places like that.
Well, I had read that through channeled writings that he had journeyed all the way to India. I was under
yes,
the impression
yes.
that he had done that. And there are some texts there that refer to him as Esau, and they knew of him, and he studied in a Tibetan monastery, and the Tibetan
yes.
monks revere that
right.
text because they know that he was important, an avatar, and he came. And I guess, though, that they wouldn't let him fully teach there because they realized his powers. So, anyway, tell me more about this trip to England, if you can fill me. I mean, do you have a name for me or anything from this lifetime? You had sort of an M name before.
You were as a female,
mm-hmm.
But I can't. I'm not too great on names at this particular time because the names were not given names. They were names that were, say, in common usage at that time. So you were, in other words, there were a lot of Marys, a lot of people around that Mary 1, Mary 2, Mary 3. So the distinction between Marys was really on a matter of Mary of so-and-so, Mary of such-and-such a place, and Mary, you know. In other words,
right. yeah.
Mary of
Jerusalem.
I was told
by another friend that had some regression work that also shared a past lifetime with Jesus that I was Martha of the house of Mary and Martha, which sort of, you know, that name resembles my name, but I
yes.
know, I'm not making
well,
any
Well, there is a similarity,
I
and I, you know, I don't speak
Aramaic, the ancient,
yeah. And sometimes it gets a bit lost in the translation, so
mm-hmm.
it sounds right.
Yeah, well, I don't know, you know, and I'm not making any claims to great biblical fame here or anything. I really don't know, but it does resonate with me, all this
yes.
information.
Yes, well, oftentimes there were the house of so-and-so belonging
right.
to, you know, the house of House of David, House of this, House of that.
Exactly, yeah.
Really,
and that's how they classified people, and they didn't very often
yes.
use last names unless it was the House of David or... Well, his Jesus' name would have been Yeshua ben Joseph, you know. So, I mean, he's
well,
son of Joseph, possibly, you know, son of Joseph, because of the ben, meaning son of, but then again... Because his identity needed to remain secret, he might have been known completely as someone different, especially after this crucifixion.
Well, that's the way it's. That's why, in other words, it's not really an excuse to tell you that I don't know your name. It's just that.
No,
it's
I'm not.
Not the same thing, like somebody would be called John Smith because he was a blacksmith. You also go by the trades as well.
Yeah. I was just curious if you had anything, but if you don't, that does not, you know, mean that anything that you're saying isn't accurate, because I know how accurate you are as a psychic, and I trust your work.
I'm not too worried about that, but that's really what the problem is, as far as I'm concerned right now, is about, you know, identification.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you knew who you were, but what name was applied to you at that particular time seems to have changed the matter, you know, as a matter of where you were at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you belonged when you were in, say, in the, it was now Israel, you would be called this one name, and then when you went to England, you would be called the companion of somebody.
Oh, I see. Well, that's great. I mean, do you know what the purpose of the trip to Glastonbury, was this the purpose of spreading more of the early teachings of Jesus then, just going out amongst the world?
Well, it was many purposes. One purpose was to get away as far as Jesus could from the source of the irritation and the problem. He had done as much as he could do at that particular time. And so then he was not necessarily spreading his religion, because it wasn't established as his religion.
Oh, we have a caller.
Okay.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, caller. What's your name and how can we help you?
This is Lyle. And I'm from Indianapolis, and I was calling. You were saying that you were doing a doing past lives.
We're talking about past lives. Yes.
And well, I was going to ask if you could give me an idea of who I was, or one of who I was in the past life. I've had a few dreams, and I wanted to see if you picked up what the dreams were, and if it was a past life or if it was a message for this life.
Oh, okay. And your name is Lyle, you said?
Lyle, L-Y-L-E.
L-Y-L-E. And, okay, this is a tough one for me, because I don't do too much with past lives. I do general readings for others. Did you want to share any of the details of the dream to kind of, would that assist, or Bob, would you rather?
Well, I could talk to Lyle. Hello,
okay,
Lyle.
All right.
I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
It seems to me now, I don't want to get too far into your past lives and so on, but it seems to me right now that you're having an identity crisis of some sort. Is that correct?
Well, it's more like a, yeah, well, it's kind of an identity crisis because of exterior things that are going on.
Yes.
And one of the items is a meeting that I'll have on October 2nd, and I'm just wanting to get to that point and get it over with and see how the outcome comes. Well, instead of a past life, can you give me an idea of how the outcome will come of that meeting?
I'm picking up really a great uneasiness about the whole situation, and it doesn't seem to be doing with employment. It seems to be doing with something to do with location.
Well, it's with taxes.
Yeah. Okay, and it's something to do with, all right, that's why I'm getting the great unease. I think that if you approach the people you're going to talk to with an openness and an understanding that that they're there to help you, in spite of all the publicity against it, They're there to help you and to work out some kind of an arrangement.
Well, it's let me give you a little more, because I've done the research and I know that the taxes that they're trying to charge, they're not by law. And I did the research. I've been researching for a long time. By law, they can't charge it to me, but, you know, charge me the taxes. But they're trying to, and, you know, I sent them the information of the research that I did based on court cases. And so it's really a thing of, it's not that I'm unsure of the research that I've done, because I've done a thorough job of it. What I do in my work life has helped me to do that research. It's just that I want to get it over with so that I know what I need to do next.
Okay. I don't see that there's any very satisfactory conclusion to this particular meeting. It'll probably open up more questions than it will answer them for you.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeing a court proceeding of some sort or something with this meeting, and I was seeing that before, you know, Bob mentioned this, so there is a lot of anxiety about this situation, but we will send our prayers and our light to this situation. It's this Tuesday, right, Lyle?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll send you a lot of divine light, and hopefully this will resolve in your favor.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Lyle.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a bit of a toughie. Sorry to put you on the spot, Bob.
All right.
I just wasn't getting anything from his past life, and sometimes I do, and that's sometimes the way spirit works, and I think he really had another question, which is
well,
really...
Well, sometimes anxiety will mask the past lives, and the past lives usually are quite complicated as to how they relate to present-day circumstances, and oftentimes you can't really answer them in 2 minutes or less.
Yeah. Well, I've done some past life readings on air with others and brought in information from the Akashic Records. I do have the gift now and then, but it's not something that I usually focus on. But I think the whole concept, though, of working with our past lives is a fascinating one, and we can find out a lot about ourselves and our predicaments and the situations we find ourselves in, and even relationships with other people, which very often tend to repeat. And the overall reason I feel that this is happening right now, why we are being, why these issues may be coming up for us, has to do with something in the past life that needs to be cleared. And it's very important that we begin to work on understanding and knowing our past lives, at least from my perspective and others, I think, is because we're coming closer to the great shift, and we're going to need to be aware of all of this. There's just general awareness, and it's been a fascinating journey for me. And what you were saying about the trip to England still has me totally transfixed. if you were in the process of explaining any of that and would like to revisit that, I'm still curious about the trip. And I wanted to know also, is this also being featured in the book? You did say that it was. The trip that Jesus took to England.
Well, yes, somewhat. A lot of explanation about reincarnation and things like that.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, and book one actually was in, but then book two, there's a lot more of it.
So
not always the complete answer, of course, but enough to get people curious and to do some work on their own. A lot of the times that you were talking about were quite significant in the beginnings of the Christian religion, and indeed a lot of the influence of the Druids and so on had crossed over at that particular time. But then you were going there because there was a movement to more of a spiritual movement rather than a religious in movement in the formal sense. And this is why you and Jesus and a lot of the others went over at that particular time. You were being welcomed.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I don't remember seeing that in my past life, but I am planning to do some more sessions with this phenomenal regressionist, and I'll have to look into this in greater detail because I thought it was just phenomenal enough that I had met him in my past life, but to have been traveling with him is pretty awesome. Of course, most of my life I was, a practicing Christian in one form or another, and always felt very drawn to these churches, and then, of course, served a lot of them and was actively involved. And then when began channeling Diana, this was all very taboo to them, you know. It's funny the way they view our work, you know. I think because we get different information than what their doctrines teach, for one thing.
Well, there you are. I don't know if I can add much more in the short time we have right now, but
yeah.
that was basically it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful, Bob. Thank you for looking into that past life material there. That's just, it's thrilling beyond belief. And now I've got to, now you're driving me to want to learn more, which is the way you want to do it if you're into spiritual growth like I am. And for our listeners, you do want to constantly learn more and explore more. So, you know, your information is just is truly remarkable. Thank you for sharing that.
Well,
and I really do look forward to
what I'd like to add right now is that there is a test that the individual, whether it's you or anybody else, can use for past life regression or readings, whatever. And that is, if it feels right to you, the individual, if the story feels like there's familiarity to it, or if it fits, it seems to explain a few things. Not always, but most of the time, it has a comfortable feeling for you. And that usually is one test that you can use to see if you're on the right track, so to speak, no matter what you're doing, even if you're doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with doing it yourself, you have nobody really to bounce it off, and you have no way of knowing if there's any kind of accuracy with it. People should know that the past life readings, the past lives are around them, and it sometimes can take a psychic to do it. Sometimes you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the main test is to see if it feels right for you.
Mm-hmm. And that is true with anything that you read, any channeling that you read. If you read it and it feels right, then that's your own inner confirmation of truth, and that's the ultimate determiner, really, of truth is whether it resonates within you, because
right.
You can't look to outside authority in this day and age for any kind of truth, because there's all kinds of misinformation out there, including channeling that might be on the Internet, though I do trust a lot of the other channels that are working, but... you know, again, it is a matter of finer discernment, for sure. So, anyway, I haven't run out of anything. There's so much more to cover today with you, Bob. I got these new messages from John Lennon, you know, talking about our work together. And he was, you know, praising your latest work with Dead on Ed Sullivan. And that whole new CD, and then we've got music that we can pull in, and we've got looks like 5 minutes or so left of the hour here, and then we have we have enough time to feature another song. So, is there anything that you'd like to particularly close out with, Bob? And we will mention your website again. And anything else that you'd like to mention as far as your other activities that you're involved with?
Well, there's one thing that I'd like to mention just very briefly here, and that most people that are hearing and reading the news are getting overwhelmed by the sorrows and the troubles in this world. And if you can take it with as the proverbial grain of salt, and not that you shouldn't be concerned, you should be, but you've got to get some joy in your life, and the best way to get joy in your life is to go to help other people.
Mm. What a wonderful way to close our interview, Bob. That is so true. And, yeah, helping other people does give joy to people. I've seen it over and over. Volunteering with children as a tutor or anything can truly uplift you. And a lot of people have really busy lives, and it's hard to fit, you know, extra things and extra people in. But that's
well,
really
if you have
point.
Time for misery, you have time for joy.
Yeah, very, very well put. Hey, what a great way to close out our show. So unless you have a particular preference on music, then I'll play one of the newer songs from the new CD, Dead on Ed Sullivan. I was going to play Lotus Opening, if that sounds good for you, Bob.
Oh, that sounds just wonderful.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. It's always a rare treat to talk with you. Thank you so much for doing the reading for the guy that called in and my readings on England. And I'll be back in touch with you through email. But it's fantastic having you on the show. And we want to point everyone to your website right now at www.thestarsstillshine.com with author and channel Robert Murray, who's writing all the music for our show. Thanks again, Bob, for appearing.
Thank you.
All right. Bye for now. Tune in next week. We have another great show. Wonder if we're playing Lotus Opening.